Let's make much of the family today, okay? And when you do, you're making much of the God who created family. Okay, God created two things, church and family. He has a, well, they're good. Now, I know some people, there's some social engineers, and if you listen to them, they've been tinkering with, well, just what an engineer does. An engineer tinkers with society. And a lot of people are saying, boy, we've evolved. The family's not needed. At least the family is a way it's been defined. We can come up with something better. I remember it happening in the 60s. Do kids really need dads? I tell you what, government makes horrible parents. But you can improve. When you do it God's way, you see how beautiful it is. When you don't do it God's way, boy, there's nothing like it. Let me say this, because you may say, well, I know some bad families. I know some men that beat their wives and beat their kids. Listen, there's no such thing as a bad family. God created family and it's good. We don't serve the institution well. We're the ones that screw it up, not God. Okay, it's good because it came, listen, it came from the heart and the mind of God. And He wants to bless your family. He wants to heal the brokenness that might be in your family. He's good at that. He loves broken things. The first family was broken with sin. And God come to turn the hearts of the father back to the children and the children back to the father. And it's a beautiful thing. Hey, I'll just read a verse. You're very familiar with it. You have a little handout there. One of the Ten Commandments, number 5. David Letterman did not come up with the top 10, right? That was God's idea a long time ago. Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land and the Lord your God is giving you. Now, we're going to talk about honoring your parents. Now, parents, be careful, because if you're like me, I'm like, hey, kid, wake up. Listen, you're not going to miss a word of this. Okay, I get that. Let me say something to parents first, okay? Parents, there are more verses directed at you than there are verses directed at your children. Let me say it again. Parents, there's more verses directed at you than there are directed at your children. There are some directed at your children. We'll get to it. But can I encourage you to do this, mom and dad? Make it easy for your kids to honor you. Make it easier for your kids to honor you. Don't put a stumbling block in front of your children. Because Jesus said you're going to get a woe if you do. Make it easy. And boy, we're not here to talk about that. But think about it. Making it easy for your children to honor you. Be real. Listen, if the Bible says we sin and fall short of the glory of God every day, shouldn't we be confessing pretty regularly? When you blow it in front of your kids, you knew you blew it. They knew you blew it. God knows you blew it. It's okay to apologize in front. If you want your children to learn how to confess, should you not be a good role model there? Now, I know there's limits, you know, according to their age, what do you share? But let's be real. I tell you what, I was a youth pastor for 15 or 16 years. Man, I thought it was a very fruitful time in my life. The easiest kids to work with were kids whose parents were for real. The second easiest group of kids to work with were kids whose parents didn't make a profession of faith at all. The hardest group of kids to work with were parents who were bitter and critical. That was a hard bunch. Because attitudes are caught. Attitudes are caught at home. I could say more about that. But let me encourage you, dads, moms. One Puritan writer said this: don't only govern your children, don't forget to defend them as well. Protect them as well. Nurture them as well. You know, there's times when I just want them to listen to me. I just want them to do well. God has called us to shepherd hearts. And that's a lot harder than just getting our way, isn't it? Shepherding hearts, it takes time, it takes wisdom, it takes listening. It takes the mind and heart of God to do that. I realize I'm saying a lot of things. But you know, one time I spoke at a church out in Mason County. It was a cool church. I mean, guys wore their bib overalls and stuff. It was just a country church. But I said in passing, I said, look at the baptism of Jesus. The Father's there, and He says, this is My Son. I love Him, and I'm proud of Him. I said, would those three words revolutionize our homes? I had grown men older than me, coming up to me afterwards with tears in their eyes saying, I'd give anything to hear my dad say he was proud of me. Okay, there's a lot more passages about for us parents than there are for you kids. Okay, let's go for it though. I put this verse here, Leviticus 19. When I was a teenager, I heard a person say this. He said, notice that commandment. It says, honor your father and mother. He said this. He said, you should honor your dad more than you do your mom, because dad was first. I thought, wow. Now that I'm married and have children, I want my children to honor, I want them to honor their mother as much as they honor me. And then I saw this verse in Leviticus, so I thought maybe God knew this guy was going to say something silly, so God said, I'll show him. I'll switch it. Look what Leviticus says. Each of you must respect his mother and father. Okay. Obviously, you know the intent is honor both your parents. What does it mean to honor? The Hebrew word literally means heaviness. They think it came from weighing metals. That the heavier a metal was, the more valuable it was, especially in battle. Okay, if you're going to sword fight someone, you've seen cartoons where they're sword fighting and one sword breaks. Ha ha! That's the idea of being heavy. Now don't go home and say, Mom, the preacher said you were heavy. But in one sense, here's what he's saying. Your parents are the heaviest people in your life. They're the heaviest. Meaning they're the most valuable, they're the most important. And I put this phrase in there, don't treat your parents with an ounce of respect, give them a ton of respect. When children are little, their parents are everything, aren't they? Something happens where peers become more important than parents. Sometimes it's pretty early, sometimes it's around the teenage years. And I hear people say, well, that's just the way it is, kids are going to be rebellious. Where is that in Scripture? People tell me, all the teenage years, you're in the teenage years now, it's going to be horrible. Where is that in Scripture? If it's not in Scripture, you don't have to believe it, okay? It doesn't have to be that way. Young people can obey God. Young people can make the devil flee in the power of God, right? They can stand in the truth. They can obey. Anyway, it means to give a ton of weight to. And the Greek word means to give high value to. And it also maybe comes from the word to know well. And we'll talk about knowing your parents well here in a minute. But to give high value to. And I want to stop right here and say, you know, guys, this verse totally addresses the heart. Don't bypass the heart. You can't. This idea of honor your parents, it is all about attitude. It's all about disposition. It all starts in your heart. Listen, you don't want to be a plastic Christian. If there's a dead apple tree out there in your yard, you could go to Michael's and you could buy leaves and you could buy plastic fruit and you could staple it. It'd take you a long time, but you could staple it all up there and you could admire from a distance how beautiful that tree is. That's not what you want as a Christian. You want it to be real. We need to be born again. We need to have God's disposition. We need to have God's heart. We need to be born again so that we have the desire to follow Him. Not plastic fruit, but real fruit. And this idea of honoring, it all starts right here. How you view your parents. How you think of your parents. Okay? I love this quote from C.S. Lewis because we're told to love God and to love God supremely. I worried about this when I got married. I thought, well, what if I love my wife too much? She wouldn't complain, first of all. But someone asked Harry Ironside that question once, and he said, do you love her like Christ loved the church where he gave himself for her? He said, well, no. He said, well, then you don't love her enough. Here's what C.S. Lewis said. Guy had great insight. When I have learned to love God better than my earthly dearest, I shall love my earthly dearest better than I do now. When first things are put first, second things are not suppressed, but increased. Let me just put it to you this way. The more you love God with all your heart, soul, might, and mind, the more you're going to love your family. Your family will benefit it when you walk with God. And love, when it's given, it doesn't diminish, it multiplies. Okay, trust me, God's got enough love coming to you and through you. He can do it, okay? You love God supremely and you'll find yourself loving your spouse, your children, your neighbors, your co-workers. it'll multiply. Okay? I like the Heidelberg Catechism. I think it's full of grace. What does God require in this fifth commandment? This is something children were expected to memorize. That I show all honor, love, and faithfulness to my father and mother and to all who are in authority over me. Think of this, guys. If a child does not respect his or her parents, who will they respect? Because in a sense, the family is your first school. It's your first form of government. It's your first place of worship. I like that. All who are in authority over me. You go through life, you're going to have a lot of authority in your life. God has placed a government over us. And we in America, we know we have right to speech. You know what we think that means? We have right to trash anybody we don't like. I'm not sure God's pleased with some of the political rhetoric that goes on. Especially when Paul says, let's pray for Caesar, who was persecuting Christians at the time. Anyway, let's go on. Yesterday in Nitro, we had a horse parade and a World War I memorial. Guys, sometimes we have this thing called, I think C.S. Lewis called it chronological snobbery, where we grow up and we think our generation's all that. We really haven't learned much from the generation before us. We'll talk about that in a minute. Okay, that I should submit myself with due obedience to all their good instruction and correction, and also bear patiently with their infirmities. Wow, that... I've often wondered about Jesus. Did Mary and Joseph ever get it wrong? Would you hate to be one of Jesus? You know, Joseph and Mary had other children later. Wouldn't that be hard to grow up with a perfect brother? Ask my siblings. They'll tell you how hard it is. But, no. Yeah, that's... Oh, but think about this. This is what children were taught. Your parents will have bad days. Your parents will make judgment calls sometimes. They'll get it wrong. Their hearts probably aren't wrong, but their heads may be. I think that's interesting. We'll hang on to that. Also bear patient with their infirmities, since it is God's will to govern us by their hand. Parents, you are in lieu of God. You're God's lieutenant while your children are young. There's a scene in Chronicles of Narnia where, boy, C.S. Lewis is getting a lot of airtime today, isn't he? There's a scene in Chronicles of Narnia where all the animals are frozen by the Wicked White Witch. And in the book, Aslan, of course, is... I mean, there's other lions in Narnia, but Aslan is the lion, okay? He's the lion above all lions. And he goes around touching the other statues, unfreezing them. Well, he touches this one lion, and he tells that lion something like this. He said, us lions need to protect the other animals. That other lion got excited. He said, did you hear what he said? He said, us lions. He was talking to me. And he started annoying everybody by his giddiness. He was talking to me when he said, us lions. Aslan considers me one of him. And finally, Aslan said, hey, take these and go. Mom and Dad, you're a parent. In lieu of God. That should make us giddy. He's a parent. You're a parent. Wow. This is weighty stuff. So enjoy your family. Lead them. Guide them. Be involved. Hang on. Let's run. I'm going to honor your time. Children, you cannot use your youth as an excuse to disobey. There's a lot of things, kids, you get a pass on right now because you're young. Enjoy it, okay? But this is one thing you don't get a pass on. When you learn what obedience is, God says, I want you to do it. When you learn what honor and respect is, God said, I want you to do it. I say that because you're going to be tempted. Your friends are going to say one thing and your parents are going to say another. And you're going to have to choose. And please, I hope you'll put God first and know that God wants you to choose your parents over your peers every time. Okay? Do you need help? Yes, please.
Michael, I'm telling you, found out their father just passed away.
Oh.
I hate to interrupt, but we need to stop and pray. Michael and Tanya just found out that their father passed away.
Yeah. Oh, church, I'm sorry. You're a body. I do a lot of funerals for hospice, and every time I do, I'm like, wow, how... It just reiterates, it's like driving a screw in harder. Family, 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 family. I know y'all probably want to be with them. Let's just run through this. Can we do that? And then we'll, okay. How do you do it? By respecting them. Again, that's a hard issue. But think about this. How you respect your parents, how you view them. It's a fair question to say. It's a fair prayer request. Lord, how do you want me to view my parents? How do you speak about your parents? How do you speak to them? Because your mouth will reveal what your heart is like. Kids, don't buy this stuff. Old man, old woman, I don't know what the sayings are these days. But don't talk like your peers talk if your peers are not honoring their parents. Okay? What you talk about, the Bible talks about in Proverbs 4 about your heart. Guard your heart because that will determine the outcome of direction of your life. And it says, be careful what you watch, be careful what you hear, be careful what you talk about. And if people are talking bad about their parents or talking bad about your parents, watch out because that's going in your ear and that's affecting your heart. When you speak bad of your parents, that's affecting your heart. Parents, be careful how we talk about our children. I've seen, well, you've seen it too, you've heard it. by respect, by obedience. Obedience without grumbling really makes parents happy. I forget what show it was. It's an old black and white, it may be Andy Griffith, where a boy was told to sit down, and he finally sat down. And he said, "I'm sitting on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." True obedience from the heart. Next page, real quickly. By considering them, the word consider means to think about. And when I was watching that video, that was cool. Some of you moms really needed to hear that. That you are rocking it, okay? Because there's days when you're pretty hard on yourself. But by getting to know your parents, as a hospice chaplain, I can't tell you how many times this has happened. I've sat down with families and I've said, "Where did you grow up? Was that a good place to grow up? What was it like? How'd you meet your wife? How'd you meet your husband? What attracted you to one another?" And I've actually had kids sit there, their children, and say, "Well, I never heard that story." That's a shame, isn't it? Get to know your parents. Now, I was guilty of this, guys. When I was a kid, I was too busy being a kid. I mean, the only thing I knew about my mom was she was old and she wore funny bathing suits, okay? That was about it. But I did this project once. That's how young people think, isn't it? I did this project once more than once with kids. I said, interview your parents. And some of them took it serious. Some of them actually recorded it visually or audibly. And they came up with some good questions. And, you know, where'd you grow up? What was it like? What did you want to be when you grew up? What's the saddest moment of your life? What's the happiest moment of your life? What did you think when you first saw me? And I remember this because one parent said, "Well, son, to be honest with you, you look more like E.T. than you did a baby. It scared me." Hey, the kids even asked their dads this question. "What's the meanest thing you ever did?" Some of the dads said, "Hey, you put me in a trap there." But it helped them because sometimes we want to get onto our kids and maybe we need to be reminded that we were kids too. And get to know your parents. I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you, but get to know your parents because both my parents died suddenly. There's going to come a day when you'll wish you did. It doesn't matter how old you are. This is Mother's Day. It's really weird. 2002, Mother's Day, all four kids were at my mom's house that afternoon, and we had dinner together. I kissed her because she only lived 2 miles away. I said, "I'll see you tomorrow." I told her I loved her. And I kissed her, and she said, "You don't know how good it is to see my children all get along." Because growing up, she thought we were going to kill each other. Okay, "You don't know how good it is to see my children get along." I said, "Okay, I'll see you tomorrow morning." Because she had a doctor's appointment. She was getting very frail. God called her home that night. That was the last thing she said to me. Wow. Yeah. By the way, God's a parent. He likes to see his kids get along too. Yeah. If I could say one thing. Get to know your parents. Get to know your grandparents. Get to know your grandparents. Next, accept their discipline. This is a tough one. Accept their discipline. Now, you think of discipline as a bad word. Correction and training. Okay, correction, it's painful, but it's for your good. The Bible teaches that. Correction is good. It's painful up front, but the long-term benefits are good. As opposed to undiscipline, where the payment's up front, but the bad stuff comes later and it lasts a long time. Okay, discipline, correction is needed, but it's good. That's getting the bad things out of your life. But also, don't despise the training. For example, when the parents say, "You should eat fruits and vegetables every day," that's training. "You should work hard at school because you need to learn discipline." "Well, I'm never going to need this." Well, it's still good to learn how to apply yourself, isn't it? There's a lot of benefits to working hard in school. You'll learn a lot more than just math. Yeah. And by the way, I was told when I was a kid, you won't always have a calculator with you. That's false, isn't it? Pull out your phone. Anyway, but their correction. Yeah. Oh, how about this one? Be a person of character. See, we got this idea. Here's the family, and children are at the center of the family, and it's our job to make the kids happy at every turn. That's not the way God sees it. God says, hey, parents are at the center. God is a parent. He identifies with parents, okay? God says, put your parents at the center of the wheel, and children, it's your job to make your children, to make your parents happy. Now, parents, don't abuse that, and I don't think you will. But isn't it cool when your kids obey? Wasn't that cool when your children show affection? When you do it God's way, there's nothing like it. Nothing on earth is like the family when you do it God's way. It's a place of joy and blessing, and I love it. Don't you just love to see families have fun together? I did this once. This was years ago. I was in college, and this guy said, will you speak at our youth banquet? And they had this big banquet every year, and he was going to talk about everything that was going to happen the rest of the year. You know, he laid out the calendar of youth events. And he got up there, and he kept saying this, and the parents were right there. He said, now, in October, this is what we're going to do, and it's going to be fun. You know why, kids? Because your parents won't be there. And the first time it got a huh. He kept saying that over and over. Now, guys, I was young, and I'm not saying I'm brilliant now, but I was young. But even at that age, I said, what message are you sending these kids? A good youth pastor will turn his kids' hearts towards the family. A good youth pastor would say, I want you to have a blast with your family. And if your family has something planned, you do that. You can do a youth activity another day. Family first. A good youth pastor would promote and say, hey, your parents rock. Your parents are cool. Kids ought to hear the word parents and cool in the same sentence, okay? Because, well, okay, you know what I'm saying. Look at this. Be a person of character. Look what Solomon said. The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice. Kids, that's a goal. That's a great goal. Proverbs was written to Nahar. That's the Hebrew word for son. The word Nahar literally means hair on the chin. You guys remember when you, hey, it's coming. In the Hebrew world, Nahar meant 12 to 20-year-olds. That's exactly what we call teenagers. Go back and read Proverbs and realize it's not. We can benefit from it, but teenagers can really benefit from the book of Proverbs. And there's a lot of good stuff in there. Powerful stuff. Okay, in the mature years, be patient and caring. Be patient and caring. Well, the other day I traveled a lot for my job and I stopped for lunch somewhere and I saw this man about my age and he brings his mother into the restaurant in a wheelchair. Thank God they were right table right beside me and he just does everything for her and he gives her a menu but it's obvious that she wasn't able to read. I mean, but he said, Mom, this is what you got last time we were here. Would you like that again? I mean, I wanted to walk by and just, good job, buddy. He would think that was weird. But I did do this. I said, when we made eye contact, I did this to him. And he knew what I was saying. God was so pleased in the way he was treating his mama. Paul said this about widows, because it is the church's job to care for orphans and widows. We've delegated that to the government, and that's not turned out well. Okay, but Paul says this, before you start taking care of widows, before you start using church resources for widows, look what he says. If a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn, first of all, to put their religion into practice. By caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing unto God. Now, I got to be careful here, guys, because I'll never put my parents in a nursing home. Look, sometimes it's necessary to get help. Here's what the problem is. Dumping granny at the nursing home, you live 10 minutes away and you never go see her. That's a problem. Okay? Neglect. There is this sweet reversal that happens. I'm going to talk to you older crowd here, because if you haven't gone through it, you will. My dad died in 1988, so my mom lived a long time without him. And like I said, I lived close to my mom, And I remember she started going to the St. Albans bean dinner. I learned soon it wasn't just beans she was interested in. Okay, there was a man there, a man named Ray. And my mom, it was almost like a teenager, she would talk about him and giggle. It was weird just when your parents start dating. It's just weird, okay? But hey, you know, if he's a good guy. Well, one day I stopped by the house and I said, "Mom, how's Ray? When am I going to get to meet him?" She bowed her head. She said, "Oh, he doesn't want to see me anymore." I cannot tell you what that did to me. It was a total role reversal. You know, I was the one that ran to her. Her heart was broken. I mean, I started crying. And then I gathered myself and I said, "Where's he at? I'm going to break his brittle body. I know he's at the senior citizens. I know I could take him. I'll get his walker. And if you're willing to die for someone, you might be willing to kill for him too, right?" I never met Ray, which is good because I... That was a total reversal, wasn't it? It was bittersweet. Heard a story once about this family, and they had Grandpa living with them, and Grandpa was always making a mess at dinner. So they gave Grandpa plastic silverware, and they gave him his own table because he was making a mess at the table. Well, so this dad one time is walking down the hallway, and he looks in his little girl's room and said, "Hey, what you doing?" She goes, "I'm having a tea party." And she describes, you know, here's Mr. Bear, and here's Doll, and here's Raggedy. And he said, "Well, who's that over there?" He said, "There's an empty place over there." He says, "That's for you, Daddy, when you get older." Parents, your children are probably watching how you're treating your parents. And you reap what you sow. So often, guys, we do our own thing and then we pray for crop failure. It doesn't work that way. Be patient and caring with them. Matthew chapter 15, Jesus attacks the Pharisees. They went through this thing called Corban, where they took their money and they said, "Well, our money is dedicated to God," but then they used it for whatever they wanted to. And when their parents got old, they said, "Well, it's not my responsibility because my money's already dedicated to God." And Jesus called them out on it. He said, "You're breaking the fifth commandment. You're honoring me with your lips, but your hearts are so far from me." God is pleased when you take care of your parents. And you know what? If you have to stop doing other things to take care of your parents, do it, because God is pleased. It's a priority. Why should you do it? Why should you honor your parents? To avoid a hard life. I'm going to ask you, and guys, we'll close. Proverbs chapter 30. If you are an Alfred Hitchcock fan, you will love this verse. Okay? Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. Oops, I got the wrong thing. Yeah, Proverbs chapter 30, verse 17. "The eye that mocks a father, that scorns obedience to a mother." I wish we had time to unpack that. "That eye will be pecked out by the ravens of the valley and will be eaten by vultures." What is he saying? If you scorn your parents, your life is going to really, really, really be hard. Prison ministry, I guarantee you, most men that are in prison will tell you it all started when they rejected parental authority. If dad was around. Remember the little fella up in Cleveland that wouldn't drop his gun? He wouldn't obey authority? Well, I'll stop there. Avoid, if you want to avoid a hard life, and not only the choices that disobeying your parents will lead to, but the hardness of your heart when you fight your parents. It hardens your heart, and that is never a good thing. Kids, next to Jesus, nobody will love you like your parents. I say it again, next to Jesus, there's no way anybody could love you and have your self-interest more than your parents. It's impossible. Just please take my word for it. Nobody's going to love you like your parents. You can trust them. And if you want a long and happy life, you're going to increase your odds if you obey your parents and get close to your parents and use your parents as your friends. Wouldn't it be neat if your kids come to you and said, "Mom, Dad, I want you to look at my life, you know me. Will you reveal to me any weaknesses I might have right now?" I wish kids would do that before they got married. Because your parents can see things that you can't see because you in love. And it's like spitting peas at the Rock of Gibraltar when they tell you something. You want to be ahead of the game. Get close to your parents. You avoid a hard life. Your life will be blessed. You'll be pleasing God, and that's always the best thing. And Jesus obeyed his parents. Thank you. We do need to pray, though, don't we? And I know your body is hurting. Maybe you'll have opportunity to love on Mike and Tanya. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for creating families. Thank you for being a wonderful father, a perfect father. You gave a perfect son. He obeyed you. Even to death on a cross, even to death for our sins. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, His Son, our Savior. Lord, you can give comfort. Lord, you can even be comfort. Do for Mike and Tanya what only you can do. Be their comfort. Minister to them in such a way that they know and feel and can even praise you in the valley. And Jesus, I thank you. We walk through some dark valleys, but we could never walk through a valley that is darker than the one you walk through. Bless this family, this church family, with a strong but sweet bond of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Go love on your family. Thank you.